Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us this evening. It's May 4th, 2025. It's Sunday evening, and we are here on New Visions Radio every Sunday at 7 p.m. Whether we're here or not, there's a program running. We're laughing because we weren't on last week. But it's really good to be here this evening and to be able to open God's Word. We're going to pick up today, Ed, where we left off last week in Revelation. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 20, we're going to do a review and just kind of go back through those things again because questions always come up. But Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, would you?
Prophecies of Hope is located in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. Stop by and see us sometime.
Yeah.
The light is not always on, but we're here on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. That's Eastern time. That's available by Zoom if you're interested.
Yeah.
And we have our church service on Sabbath or Saturday or the seventh day of the week. We have a Bible study at 9:30. That's available via Zoom or live stream.
Right.
And we have our church service at 11 via live stream.
Yes. And, you know, we want to encourage you to, you know, join us as on Zoom or via live stream, either way. And even if you are not part of it, what we do on Wednesday nights is we record.
Mm-hmm.
We actually record that with permission. You know, we always ask for permission first because we don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. And for people who can't attend, we will send that via an app called Telegram,
mm-hmm.
so people can participate that way. And then, of course, on the Sabbath, all of those worship services, all of the sermons are recorded and put on our website, prophecyhope.com. Also, Ed, if somebody wants to contact you, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. And we have a general email, which is office at prophecyhope.com. Now, if you've tried to email us recently within the past, this is May 4th, so if you've tried to email us in the past couple of weeks, we've gone through this migration process of changing email providers. So if we haven't replied and you've sent something, send it again because a couple of things got lost in the shuffle there. But particularly with my email, I don't know why they had problems with mine in particular. But also, we want to encourage you to, as we do these studies week after week, to open your Bible. Why
yes.
is that so important, Ed?
So you can see for yourself the words on the page. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference. There's power in the Word of God that I can't explain.
Right.
That people are seeking truth, they go, wow, I didn't know that said that. You know?
It tells
you the truth of God's Word. You don't have to wonder if it's right or wrong. You don't have to follow a preacher, a church. Just read the Word of God.
Just read the words on the page. And there's power in God's Word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword,
right?
And so, you know, open your Bible. And if you don't have a copy of the Bible or if you'd like a copy, we keep them here. We purchase them by the case as a ministry. And we have the King James, Authorized King James Version, and the New King James Version. So if you would like a copy of the Bible, if you don't have one, send us an email, and we'll try to get one to you one way or another. And also, there are apps that you can put on your phone, because some people in some parts of the world, you're not permitted to have a Bible. Mm. And if that's the case, you know, sometimes you can put an app on your phone and there might be a way you can disguise it so that people can't easily find it. And, you know, we need to pray for those people that are in those lands where they can't get the Word of God. You know,
mm-hmm.
they have to be reached with the gospel.
Right.
It's very important. So also, you know, before we begin this study, we want to thank Ray Powers for all that he does. You know, he ran a program for us last week. I sent him a text because I was a little under the weather. I was away, and then I was under the weather a little bit, and he got that program on the air for us, and he made it work. So he's always working for us somehow. Is there any other business we need to take care of, Ed, before we start this study?
September.
Oh, yeah. What about September?
Every year we do what we call an evangelism series to reach out to people to let them know about what the Word of God says. And we do it just a public evangelism here in Stanton, Virginia, which is also live streamed. And that's coming up the first full week of September.
Mm-hmm. That's right, this year in 2025. And that's actually a holiday week here in the United States. It's what they call Labor Day. I don't understand that because everybody takes off on Labor Day. Nobody works. What's that all about? But it will start that week, and we're going to be covering a lot of prophetic things, aren't we?
Daniel, Revelation.
Yeah, and how it pertains to us right now.
Right.
And some of those things we're going to talk about right here this evening. Mm-hmm. So to get us started, Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful again for this opportunity to open your word, the Bible, and to see what it says. Father, we're living in times where there's a lot of chaos, a lot of hate, anger, violence. And Father, we just need to understand your word to be prepared for when Christ comes again. So, Father, as we read these things, give us wisdom and knowledge about what we read. May we be able to apply them to our lives. And, Father, guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week we had started, we've been talking about a lot of different things, and we had mentioned how the studies kind of blend together. Because you have a personal ministry, and I have a personal ministry, and you have Bible studies with people. And then on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the book of Revelation. We've been in the book of Revelation, talking about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And then on Sabbath, you've been leading us in a study, and that's so been
also talking about the second coming of Christ.
And all of these things are related.
Yeah.
So sometimes we kind of overlap a little bit, and if we don't keep extensive notes of where we are, it's easy to forget. So the last few studies, we've talked about the end of the age, the second coming of Jesus here on the air. Yeah. And so well, 2 weeks ago when we came together.
Shouldn't you say in the air?
In the air, that's right. If we don't meet you on the air, we'll meet you in the air, right? So, and that's what this study is about. It's about the second coming of Christ. And we are going to pick up here in Revelation chapter 20 because this is a highly prophetic book. And I think we just should start reading here in Revelation chapter 20, and we'll kind of talk about it as we go through. Could you read verses 1 through 3, please?
Sure. This is the Modern King James Version of the Bible, starting with verse 1 of Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the abyss and shut him up and put his seal on him, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little time.
Okay, so yours used the word there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, the appropriate word, abyss. The New King James calls it the bottomless pit. And what do we know about this word abyss, Ed? What does that mean?
It was without form. It was void.
Yeah. And there's somewhere else that the Bible uses that term.
Yeah, in Genesis chapter 1.
In the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
So this is pretty interesting. You know, I've given a number of lectures on this particular topic. And one of the things that I want to point out to our listeners is the first three chapters of Genesis it's the creation of this world, of everything that we know.
Right.
And it's actually the creation of humanity. Mm-hmm. And then the fall of humanity occurs right there in the first three chapters. It happens pretty quick. And then the last three chapters of the Bible, we see it seems like things are kind of being restored, put back together to go back to the way that it was in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So Genesis and Revelation actually go together,
right,
in that Genesis is the creation and the fall of humanity, and Revelation is the redemption and recreation of everything.
So what do you mean when you say the fall of humanity?
Well, what I mean is when Adam and Eve were created, they were created righteous.
Uh-huh.
They had no sin.
Right. And what is sin?
It's transgression of God's law.
Or disobedience to God.
Disobeying God.
Yeah.
Right. And they were created as righteous. We were made in God's image.
Right.
God is a righteous God. And so he gave them a choice. He said, look, I'm going to put these two trees here. Here's your choices. If you obey me, you will live for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you disobey, there will be consequences.
I believe the word is, the day you eat of the fruit of this tree, you will surely die.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Yes. So what happened was they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Because Satan tempted Eve.
Right, the one that we're reading about here, that dragon, the devil of old, Satan.
The old serpent.
The serpent of old, yeah. That's what it says in verse 2 of Revelation.
Yeah.
So we have this, I call it the fall of humanity, because they went from being righteous to being unrighteous.
And that's when death came about.
That's where death was introduced, yeah. And so here in Revelation, through the whole Bible, we see this process, and then here in Revelation, we finally see this is coming to fruition at this point.
Right.
Everything is going to be restored. And that's what's so exciting about this time period in Revelation chapter 20. Now, excuse me, here in Revelation 20, where it uses that term bottomless pit, yours uses the word abyss, and we point it back to Genesis chapter 1, that I mentioned 2 weeks ago that the word abyss is used here in the Greek. And there's a book, a translation called the Greek Septuagint.
Uh-huh.
And what that is, for those of you, when I use that word, sometimes people say, well, I've never heard that word, Septuagint. It simply is a translation of the Old Testament in the Greek language.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, in the first century, there were a lot of Jews and Greeks,
yeah,
right? And we see that in the New Testament. The New Testament was written in the Greek language, and the Old Testament was written primarily in the Hebrew language. So they translated the Old Testament into Greek. And that word abyss is used there in Genesis 1 when it says the earth was without form and void. It was chaotic. So it looks like this is the way it's going to be at some point again.
You know, there's a verse in Jeremiah, or some verses in Jeremiah that talk about this.
Can we look at those?
Yeah, it's Jeremiah chapter 4. And let me read verses 23 through 28. Again, this is the modern King James Version. Jeremiah 4, starting with verse 23. And I looked on the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they quaked. All the hills were shaken. I looked, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities were broken down before the face of Jehovah, before his fierce anger. For so Jehovah has said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. For the earth shall mourn for this, and the heavens above shall be black, because I have spoken, I have purposed, and I will not repent, nor will I turn back.
Mm.
This is the end results of sin on this earth.
Yes, it is.
God will destroy sin and those who choose to live in sin.
And Ed, this is why we talk about this at length, why it's so important. And this is why we're doing this discussion, this study, is because we need to be ready.
Yes.
If we all have sin in our lives,
mm-hmm,
and it needs to be removed from our lives, and this is how we obtain the kingdom of God, and the only way we can do that is through Christ Jesus. There's no other way. How many times have we said that?
Yeah.
That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him.
Right.
So we can't, going to church, being part of a group or a denomination or a Bible study or a ministry or listening to this program is not going to save you.
Right.
It's a personal relationship.
Right.
That's it. That's all that's what it's all about, having that relationship with Jesus.
And it's important to have that before Jesus comes.
That's the whole.
Because once he's come, there's no opportunity.
And that's the whole purpose behind this series of studies that we've done here on the air week after week, is to help you to recognize your need for Jesus Christ. Not for us, not for a ministry. We have a dog that's barking. I think it might be coming through the mic.
I'm hearing something. I don't know what it is. If I'm hearing something, it must be pretty loud.
we're in our studio, but there's an apartment right next to our studio.
Yeah.
And the neighbor has a dog, and I think he's outside carrying on. But that's okay. If you all can put up with that, we can too.
Yeah. Let me share Isaiah, a few verses in Isaiah chapter 24.
All right.
Again, this is going to be the King James Version. It says, "Behold the Lord in all caps, meaning Jehovah or Yahweh, maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of the usury to him." It doesn't matter who you are. Everyone's going to experience this. "And the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant." And it goes on.
Mm.
But this is talking about the earth, what's going to happen.
Yeah, the judgment that's coming. And, you know, that's why it's so important for us to be ready today. Ed, we say it over and over and over. I think sometimes we sound like a broken record. But it's important to get ready now. And why is that so important?
Well, you have time.
While you have,
the opportunity.
That's the key. And you know, now is the time.
Yeah. When we get to Matthew 25, and we will eventually get there, the parable of the 10 virgins, we'll talk about all these things.
Yeah, we will. That's really a very interesting parable and parallel.
And Jesus told it as part of the signs of his coming.
Absolutely. Thanks for those texts. That was Isaiah, and what was that, Jeremiah?
Jeremiah chapter 4.
Chapter 4 and Isaiah
24.
24, beginning in verse 1.
Yeah.
So keep those things in mind. Jot these things down, friends. You know, I want to encourage you too. You know, we always want to encourage Bible study. Make notes. Don't be afraid to write in your Bible.
Right.
And I like the Bibles with the wider margins so that I can make little notes there. And what I do, I don't use a computer most of the time when we're here in the studio. But I have little notes that I've written in my Bible that give me references to scriptures that tag along with what we're talking about. Make those notes, because as you study in your personal study, or you share these things with others, it will allow you to be able to do that. So many people say, "How do you know all these verses? You just rattle them off." And I said, "Well, it's from my past studies, and it's not what I always know in my head. It's these notes that I make." But it helps you to teach people without distraction.
You know, sometimes when you're having a conversation with somebody, you start with one verse. They may ask a question or make a comment that leads you to another verse. Sometimes it's not what's written down in your notes. It's just where you need to go to answer questions or talk about the subject.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's get back to Revelation. Oh, did you have another thought?
Yeah, Revelation 20.
20. Yeah, that's where we are.
Verse 3.
Okay.
There's this 1,000 years that Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. What's that about?
Okay. So we all know, and we talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago. We've studied this. If you've been tuned in for a while, how Satan was cast out of the heavens, and he was cast to this earth so that he couldn't go back to heaven anymore. And he knows he has a short time, and we had established from the Bible, from the book of John, that he was cast out of the heavens right around the first century, sometime in the first century, about the time that Jesus was crucified and resurrected. And so he's confined from that point to this earth. Well, it's interesting that this says, he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more. That's the text you're talking about, right? So something must occur to seal him to this earth.
Well, you know, if you understand when Christ comes again, there's going to be two classes of people.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are righteous, no matter if they're sleeping in the grave or alive, they'll be, the ones in the grave will be raised to immortality, and the ones that are alive will be changed in a moment, and they all meet Christ in the air and will return to heaven for this 1,000 years. But there's another group of people that will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming, and those unrighteous that are dead will remain dead.
So let's put these texts together,
all right.
Okay? Let's begin by looking at Jesus' words in John chapter 5, and then we're going to go to that text that you're talking about being caught up,
right.
And then we'll go to the one about what happens to the ones that are not
all right.
caught up. Is that okay?
Sure.
So John chapter 5, in verse 28, Jesus said, these are Jesus' words. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of," mine says condemnation, the King James says damnation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is telling us, he's mentioning here, there are two groups of people. There's the ones that come back to the resurrection of life. Those will be the righteous people, those who are declared righteous by the blood of Jesus. And then there's those who are resurrected to the resurrection of condemnation or damnation. Those are the ones who have rejected Jesus, who yeah. weren't ready when he came, who weren't ready when they died,
mm-hmm.
their death on this earth, their first death. So when we look at this in its context and we look at what Jesus is talking about, he's speaking of two resurrections.
Right.
They occur at separate times.
We'll see that as we get back to Revelation 20.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. We'll see that clearly. So this is what you're talking about, these two resurrections, one right. to life, one to condemnation or damnation. So go ahead.
So the reason Satan is sealed, he's chained, is because he is by himself with his evil angels on this destroyed earth. And he has no one to tempt because
yeah.
everyone is dead.
That's it.
That's not righteous and with God in heaven.
And here's where we can prove that is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, right?
Okay.
Let's go there for just a moment. And friends, I know we've gone through these texts before, but some of you might be tuning in for the first time, and it might be new to you. It might be things you already know. Where do we start then? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Maybe verse 14?
14, yeah.
Do you want to read that or do you want me to read it?
Sure, I can read it. This is, again, the modern King James. It says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, that you not be grieved, even as others who have no hope."
Now, it says those who are asleep. What does that mean?
It means that those have died.
Yes.
Jesus called death asleep.
Yes, he did. Okay, I just wanted to establish that.
Verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with him all those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain,
mm-hmm. we've talked about that
yeah,
in depth,
until the coming of the Lord shall not go before those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
So those are comforting words,
yes,
to me. So when we look at this, this goes right along with what we discovered several weeks ago in Matthew 24,
mm-hmm,
where when Jesus comes back, it says the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man,
right,
be. We talked about those who remain, right?
Yes.
Versus those who are taken to destruction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you notice it says those who are alive and remain,
yes,
it says. So, you know, this is actually dismantling a lot of confusion in the Christian world.
There are so many preachers and churches that teach these
false doctrines.
That's what they are.
It's exactly what it
and
is.
And no one seems to understand what the Bible really says.
And we're seeing it right here.
Yeah.
And so when we look at this in verse 16, where the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, in other words, those people who had a relationship with Jesus,
right,
they died in this world, and they were Christian. They understood who Jesus is.
Those that were in Christ, and Christ was in them.
Amen. So this means we get rid of the sin, yeah, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then it says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So this is telling me that when Jesus comes back, that his feet never touch the ground.
Right.
And this is why Jesus said, look, if they say that he's out in the wilderness, or he's over here, over there, or in the inner rooms,
or the secret place,
yeah, don't believe it.
Right.
And so you see how just a few verses, we dismantle so many false doctrines right off the bat. And so this is what we allude to every week when we tell you that if we don't meet you here on the air, we hope to meet you in the air
when Christ comes again.
That's it. Yeah. And so whether we're alive at that time or we have died at that time,
yeah,
if we are in Christ Jesus, we will meet you in the air.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Right.
And so that's what we're referring to in Revelation chapter 20. And we'll come back to that again, mm-hmm, in just a moment. So any other comments on this text?
No.
Now, so that's the righteous. But what about the unrighteous?
2 Thessalonians?
Yeah, take us there.
Chapter 2.
Yeah, could you share that with us?
I'm not sure where to start. What if we start, I guess, in verse 1?
Yeah, it's a great place.
It says, now we beseech you, my brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you should not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word or letter, as through us, as if the day of Christ is at hand. There were people at the time of Paul, when he was on the earth, was teaching that Christ was coming.
Right.
But this is what he says about that. Let not anyone deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come until there first comes a falling away, and the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, setting himself forth that he is God. Now this is already occurring.
Right.
Has occurred and is continuing to occur. Do you remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? And now you know what holds back for him to be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working. Only he is now holding back until it comes out of the midst. There's something holding this son of perdition back, but he's going to come,
right,
into power is what he's talking about. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the breath of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceit of unrighteousness in those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, so that they might be saved. There's going to be the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman.
Right.
Christ is going to return, but this lawless one, this son of perdition, is going to try to draw people to them versus draw people to Christ.
Right. That, and this is this has been being done for many years now. Mm-hmm. And so when it says there, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the, this is verse 8, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Yeah, this lawless one is going to be according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And we see that in the book of Revelation.
Okay. So this is talking about at the coming of Jesus.
Yes.
So this occurs, this happens at the same time as what we just read in 1 Thessalonians. So if you are righteous, you will, if whether you have died or whether you are living, you will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. If you are unrighteous, if you have died, you will remain in the tomb. You will not be resurrected at this point. But if you are alive when Christ comes back and you are not in Christ Jesus and you are unrighteous, then you will be consumed by the breath of his mouth, by the brightness of his coming.
Let me read another scripture that talks about this in Revelation chapter 6.
Okay.
I want to start with verse 14. And this is the Modern King James again. And the heavens departed like a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him sitting on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Mm. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who will be able to stand?
You know, that sounds like a terrible time.
Yes.
But if you're in Christ Jesus, it's not going to be...
It's going to be a joyous
time. Terrible time for you.
Yeah.
You know, and this is... All of this goes along with the things that we're talking about. If you remember, Ed, weeks ago, we talked... It's been a while, but we talked about how... In Daniel's time, when those three Hebrews were thrown into the fiery furnace, they didn't appear to be scared. Mm-hmm. They said, look, even if we should die, we know there's a God in heaven that will remember us. And they were thrown into that furnace, and they were saved in the fire.
Yes.
They had to go into the fire, and they were saved. Mm-hmm. Nothing hurt them. So we don't talk about these things to scare people.
No.
We talk about them to let you know there's nothing to fear so long as Christ is with you, so long as Christ is in you. There's nothing to fear. It should be, you know, we don't want to see, I don't want to see people miss out on this opportunity. And that's why we do these studies. That's why we're so involved in ministry. We're doing what Jesus has commanded us to do. The gospel has to be preached everywhere to everyone.
You know, this is just as much a part of the gospel as Christ's death and his life living in us.
Yes.
There are consequences to being disobedient to God. And these judgments or consequences are going to happen.
It's so true. And this is becoming more and more critical the closer we get to the end of this world. And even the attitude of the world, you know, Ed, we've seen, you mentioned there are consequences to going against the law of God. Mm-hmm. There are consequences to going against the law of the land.
Yes.
No matter what country you live in. But it's unfortunate that the world that we live in is even minimizing those laws, making it okay in this country in some places to steal up to a certain value.
We shouldn't be surprised, though, because the Bible talks about this, that during the last days there's going to be lawlessness.
Yes. And so that's what makes us see ever more that the coming of Christ is getting closer and closer. Yeah. And so be ready, friends. Get ready. Get your affairs in order.
Yes.
You know, and when I say that, that means get your heart right with God.
Have oil in your lamp. Have extra oil.
Yeah, we're going to get there,
aren't
we?
Yeah.
And that's a neat reference. Have extra oil in your lamp. You know, it's a Bible reference and a reference to even 19th century here in America, where we had to have oil when it was going to get dark.
Yeah.
So we're living in dark times.
Mm-hmm.
So we need that oil. Any other thoughts on 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians? Okay. Let's go back to Revelation 20. And just since we talked about that, would you read 1 through 3 again?
Sure.
And hopefully all of the things that we discussed, this will come together a little bit.
Verse 1 of Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand, a chain of circumstances. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the abyss and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little time. So there's no one alive during that 1,000 years, but at the end of 1,000 years, the unrighteous are going to be brought back to life so Satan can deceive them again.
Yeah, let's clarify that. So on earth, there's no humanity. There are no live humans.
That's where this abyss is. It's the earth.
Abyss is going to be the earth and the state that it was in before God started the creative days, right? So when we look at this, scripture, we see that all of the righteous, whether they have died because they will be resurrected when Christ comes, or they are living when Christ comes, they will be in the heavens.
Right.
So we will be in the heavenly courts for this 1,000 years. The earth will be a chaotic ball or a chaotic mass, right? Yeah. With no one here but Satan and his demons.
Yeah.
Satan has no one to tempt.
He's chained.
Right. Yeah. And think about this. You know, we've talked in depth about this. These unrighteous people are not burning somewhere at this point. They're just dust.
They're asleep. They know nothing.
They know nothing that's going on. And so only the righteous live through the 1,000 years in the heavens. So now we come to verse 4.
Okay.
Would you read 4 and 5? If we go as far as you want, Ed.
All right. I'll probably read 4 through 6.
Okay.
And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, nor his image, nor received his mark in their foreheads, nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. We'll talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years.
Okay. So when we look at verse 4, he says, I saw thrones and they sat on them and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. So who is this group?
It's talking about Revelation 13.
Okay.
Where the beast of Revelation 13, which is the papal portion of the Roman Empire, it's the two-horned beast, the United States, causes all on the earth to receive the mark in their forehead or their hands. In Revelation 13, it talks about all the world wandered after the beast, after this papal power.
Right.
And isn't it interesting, this very time that we're living in, a new pope is being selected.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's always, whether we agree politically or biblically with someone, we don't want to see the death of anyone.
Right.
And you know, we didn't write the Bible. We've talked about this before. This is just a historical fact that the papal power is, the characteristics align with that.
Right.
And it's not calling out Catholics themselves.
And simply the mark of the beast is the mark of their authority, which is their claim. And they'll tell you this. This is the mark of our authority that we changed the Sabbath from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week.
Right.
That's one of their claims to prove that they have power over the Bible, that they can change whatever the Bible says, that they sit as God.
Right. In the temple of God.
Yeah.
Right.
And they claim to be Christ on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, when we look at these things, I know it can sting a little bit for those of you who are under that belief structure, but this is just what the Bible says.
Right.
And, you know, we have to accept the words on the page. Let me tell you, Ed, and I'm saying this for those who might be listening to this and they're hearing what we're saying. When I was in the church that I believed was the truth, it stung.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that my church was in error. And the topic that got me was this Sabbath that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
the Sabbath truth, the very mark of the beast power. The church that I was in, this is what they taught. They didn't teach that it was the mark, but they were teaching that, oh, the Sabbath is done away with. We don't have to worry about it. It's gone. And when I saw that we were in error, it stung. I wasn't mad at the person who was in front of me when I recognized it. So, you know, because we're pointing to this, don't be upset with us. This is the Word of God.
Right. And it doesn't matter what church you belong to, as long as you're searching for truth in God's Word and
God meets
and desire
you where
to believe what it says, it
That's
doesn't
right.
matter what church.
That's right. And I do believe that there will be many people who were Catholic all of their lives that will be caught up in the clouds because they were living up to the light that they had.
Right.
So,
you know, no church can save you.
No.
No preacher can save you. No priest or pope can save you. Mark can't save
no.
you. I can't save you. We can't even save ourselves.
No, we can't.
It's only Jesus Christ that can save you.
Amen. And so, you know, that, and that's one of the errors I grew up in too, believing that if I wasn't part of that church that I was in,
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't saved.
Well, many churches teach that.
That's so true. And so salvation comes through Christ alone.
Yes.
So please understand that, friends. We're not attacking any denomination or religion or any person. And, you know, it saddens us when people come to their death in this world. But, you know, there's always hope.
Yeah, in Christ Jesus.
There's always hope.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is a critical time in Earth's history, isn't it?
You know, we need to speak the truth of God's Word, no matter in season or out of season, as Paul says.
Right.
It's definitely out of season today.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's not a popular message.
No.
The things that we preach here from the Bible are not popular. And, you know, if we were telling people what they wanted to hear, we would have tens of thousands, maybe millions of people listening and tuning in and trying to come to the church and do their thing. But there's only a few of us that meet here, Ed.
Right.
There's only a few. And how often do we refer to how many people were on the ark? How many people were saved?
There were 8 people on the ark.
8 out of millions. Maybe billions of people. So don't be surprised, because Jesus himself said that the road to life is very narrow.
Straight is the gate.
And narrow
the
way.
Is the way.
And it's hard to hear, but it's so true.
There's a street sign maybe a couple blocks from the church where there's a cross section. One street is the narrow way, one street is Straight Street.
Yeah, that's right. I used to live on Straight Street, just up the road here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Straight Street, and then there's a sign there that says, what's it say, narrow, road narrows or narrow.
Something.
You took a picture of it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't know. We were out, we were actually doing a little ministry, weren't we, when we came across that. It was kind of funny. But so these things are so important, friends, this message in Revelation chapter 20. Go ahead.
We need to address this verse 5.
Okay.
It says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's what we had been talking about. The unrighteous dead are not alive until the end of the 1,000 years.
Right.
But then it says, this is the first resurrection.
Yeah, it's confusing, isn't
it? It's really in the reverse order. This is the first resurrection should be talking, and is talking about verse 4.
Sure, and we know that because of what the next verse says.
Right.
And so there is a Bible translation. One of the sisters that tunes in with us has read that a number of times. That puts it in its proper place.
Right.
And some Bibles even put that comment, this is the first resurrection, in a parenthesis.
A parenthetical thought.
Yes. And it's just kind of filling in. And if you could leave it out or you can leave it there. It really doesn't change the meaning of it.
Yeah, so the dead that are dead are not alive until the 1,000 years are finished are the unrighteous.
Yes.
So it's in verse 6, blessed and holy he who is part of the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. Second death is that eternal death.
Right.
Which, again, is an unpopular understanding.
It is very unpopular. And really, if we don't believe in the second death as the Bible teaches it, then we're buying the lie that Satan told in the Garden of Eden to Eve when he told her, you will not surely die.
Right.
Because if we believe in what people call the immortality of the soul, or we believe that we burn in hell for eternity if we're unrighteous, then we believe the lie that Satan told, we're not really dead.
Yeah. And the Bible teaches clearly that people will be destroyed forever. They're not going to, the fire will not go out, and that will complete its work of destruction. They will be no more.
Right, right. And, you know, I think the first program years ago when Rick and I started doing this was about what happens when we die.
Yeah.
That was the very first program. You know, I've gone back and listened to that, and I think, wow, yeah, I could tell we were, you know, we were a little uncomfortable. We had never done this before. And it's fun to listen to every now and then to go back. But so, again, just so everybody understands, when Christ comes back, those who have already died that are unrighteous will remain in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They know nothing. Those who are unrighteous when Christ comes back that are alive will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming.
Right.
That's their first death.
Right.
Those who are righteous, whether dead or alive, those dead righteous will be resurrected.
Right.
They'll be caught up in the clouds.
Remember, they're sleeping in the grave. They have no knowledge of anything. They're
right.
Asleep. They're dead.
They're asleep right now.
Yeah.
And when Christ comes, they'll be resurrected. And they'll be caught up in the clouds. And then we who are alive and remain, if we're alive at that time, will be caught up to meet them in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Right.
And again, don't misunderstand that. It doesn't say we'll be in heaven forever. It just says we'll always be with the Lord wherever he is. So here in Revelation, when we look at this, it says in verse 6, Ed, and this is interesting, I'd like you to give us a little explanation on this. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. What does this mean? When we look at this, what do we reign? What do we reign over?
Well, let's look at a few verses. Let's go to Romans chapter 5.
Okay.
And let me find that real quick. Start with verse 17. If you could read 17 through 21.
Okay, this is Romans 5, right? Okay, Romans 5, 17 from the New King James. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's the answer.
So we're going to reign over sin and death.
Yeah.
Can you read Romans chapter 6, verse 12?
Verse 12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts.
So the righteous are going to reign with Christ over sin and death.
Yeah, during that 1,000 years, yeah. Right? And so, and this is important because something occurs after the 1,000 years, which we're going to see.
Right.
And so this is beautiful. For the first time in human history, since Adam and Eve ate the fruit, there will be no sinners alive at that time.
There'll be no devil, no Satan to tempt anybody.
He'll be on the earth. He'll be locked here, right. Sealed in this abyss, in this chaotic place.
Right.
With no one to tempt, because we're separated from him. Remember, Satan's been cast out of heaven.
Right.
And there are people who have this false teaching about the abyss and where it is, but it's clear that the abyss is the earth.
Yes.
It's chaotic. And so the brightness of Jesus coming just kind of lays it bare, doesn't it? So this is beautiful. We reign over sin and death. It's not, we don't reign over people. We reign over sin and death.
Right. Now, verse 4 of Revelation 20 talks about, I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. Judgment is really talking about judging God and his judgment.
Yes.
Seeing that, why isn't so-and-so here? You open the book and see why. Has God made a righteous, honest decision not to have that person there, and you read the books and they say, well, yeah, God is right.
You know, it talks about that here later on in this chapter, and in the coming weeks we're going to get to that, because this clarified so much for me, Ed, and because being brought up in a false religion in Babylon, I was taught things that just weren't in the Bible at all. It was the doctrines of men. But reading it right here from the Bible, it clarifies it so well. We have about 4 minutes left. So I just wanted to look at this when it talks about priests of God. We shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So let's continue on. Would you read 7 through 10?
Sure. And when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. And he will go out to see the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of them is the sand of the sea. And they went up over the breadth of the earth and circled round the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were. And he will be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Okay. So there's a lot of information to unpack here, but let's just consider, because of time, let's just consider verse 7. When the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison.
Yeah.
What releases him from his prison, Ed?
The unrighteous are raised to life.
They're resurrected.
They're resurrected.
So this is actually the second resurrection.
Right.
Remember what Jesus said. I want to read it again, because at the outset we read this in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse, now this might make a little more sense to people. It says in verse 28, Jesus' words, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. You notice he enumerates that one first, because that's the first resurrection. And then he says, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation or damnation.
And that's what we're talking about in verse 20 here, the resurrection of condemnation, or some Bibles say the word damnation.
Right. Some say the word, use the word judgment. And so this is interesting because what's going to happen is judgment is going to occur. They're going to receive the execution of their judgment.
The meting out the penalty phase.
Yes, there you go. Just like in a court case, right? It's no different. So this happens when the 1,000 years have finished. So what releases Satan from his prison is now he has these unrighteous people who have been resurrected here on the earth. And what's he going to do?
He's gathering them together to battle against God and his saints.
That's pretty, you think about that, you think that can be scary.
And it's going to be, he'll go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog.
Right.
To gather them together to the battle. And they're numbered of them, it's the sands of the seas. There's a lot of people.
Absolutely.
You notice, this is where Gog and Magog occurs.
Yes.
It's on the destroyed earth after the 1,000 years. And God is going to bring the holy city down from heaven, the New Jerusalem, with the saints. And these people are going to try to take the city.
Yeah, and as we, in the coming weeks, we're going to see that. And it's right here in the text, friends. And you may not see it yet, but you will see it. Mm-hmm. Read, and this is your homework assignment. Read all of Revelation chapter, read the rest of the Bible.
Read 20 and 21 at least.
Yes, at least those. And in the coming weeks, these are going to be the chapters we discuss.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing that's going to occur. And not that people are going to be destroyed, but that sin will be destroyed.
Right.
It's going to be wiped out forever. And Ed, that's all the time we have this week. And so next week, we'll pick up here and we'll talk a little bit more about verses 7 through 10.
All right.
Was there anything else that you had?
I don't think so.
All right. So let's just have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you so much for this time that we've had to open your word. And Father, I just ask that you will help each one of us to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. Father, help us to receive Christ in our hearts that we can be changed, that we can reign over sin and death by the power of Christ living in us. And Father, I just pray that until we come together again, that you will keep us safe, that we will think about these things, not just when we're here together, but throughout the week. And Father, help us to open the Word every day and just read from it and learn more about you and your Son. And we just ask for your blessing to be upon each one of us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thank you so much for the study with us, and we'll pick up here next week. And friends, we hope you'll tune in again next Sunday here on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.